News about prescription drugs lately has focused on rising prices, but there's another trend behind the scenes, drug shortages. Last year, there were at least 73 drugs in short supply nationwide, from flu and tetanus vaccines to anesthetics and heart medications. Hospitals have been hardest hit. In some cases, surgeries and treatments are being delayed. NPR's Joe Neo reports on how shortages are affecting one hospital in North Carolina.
Eden, North Carolina is a rural city on the Virginia border. Lush green tobacco farms surround carpet mills and a brewery. Out at the edge of town sits Moorhead Memorial Hospital, one of Eden's jewels. Moorhead has just about everything you might need if you happen to get sick here. There's a big cancer center, a large nursing facility, the latest in CAT scans. But there's one important thing you can't depend on if you're a patient in Eden.
It's just all of a sudden you can't get a drug.
Can't get a drug in a hospital? Jane Yance and thousands of pharmacy managers across the country say it's happening more and more. Yance runs the busy hospital pharmacy here. It's not expensive drugs for patients with exotic diseases. It's everyday, often inexpensive drugs that are on back order. For asthmatics, people with high blood pressure, people in pain. As labels pour out of printers all around the pharmacy, Yance grabs today's list of shortages. Her aggravation is apparent.
Albuterol tablets are not coming. Pancrease, which is pancreatic enzymes, that is a new thing just in the last week or so, Regina, that we're having trouble getting. Hydrochlorothiazide tablets, I haven't seen that one before.
Jane Yance and her assistant, Regina, spend hours on the phone each day searching for this drug or that. One that's especially scarce these days is furosemide, a widely used diuretic.
A few months ago, we were in very, very short supply. I had one of the doctors say, how do you run a hospital without furosemide injection? You know, I agree with that.
Nearly every patient gets a diuretic like furosemide when they're in the hospital. After surgery or a long stay in bed, doctors prescribe it to help the body get rid of excess fluid that can damage the heart or other organs. Scott Mark manages the pharmacy at Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Mark says the furosemide shortage is creating havoc.
This was a huge impact in hospitals across the country because the second product of choice represents such a small percentage of the market that there was just no way for that product to absorb the loss.
In other words, even the substitute for furosemide was hard to get. Moreover, two other possible substitute diuretics are also in short supply right now. Scott Mark says he was lucky enough to hear a rumor about the furosemide shortage and was able to stockpile enough. In North Carolina, Jane Yance scrimped and saved. She told doctors to use oral tablets as much as possible. Another thing that worries Yance right now is the vaccine supply.
Tetanus, that has been a real big one we've been dealing with for over a year. Rubella, MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, that's been a real big one.
Shipments of MMR vaccine are currently 6 to 15 weeks behind. For a while, the tetanus shortage forced Moorhead's emergency room to ration the little bit of vaccine Jane Yance could get. At the moment, one of the most critical drug shortages involves steroid injections. They're used constantly for all sorts of patients, including those with cancer.
The steroids have really been a very big deal. The steroid injections have been in short supply for over a year now. One of the biggest ways it has affected us is with our oncology center. As we use a lot of dexamethasone, you can use other steroids too, but to give to patients before they're treated with their chemotherapy drugs, and it really helps them tolerate the drug better and it helps prevent some side effects.
Nationally, the shortage of steroids has had far-reaching effects. Three people died of meningitis last year north of San Francisco when surgeons couldn't get a steroid called betamethasone and had a local pharmacy make up a batch. The batch was later found to be contaminated. So far, these are the only deaths tied to drug shortages. But pharmacist Linda Tyler of the University of Utah says people are being harmed, especially by the betamethasone shortage. It's a drug that has many uses. It can even save a premature baby's life.
This drug is very important to help the baby's lungs mature. So this is a life-threatening situation. So by reserving the drug that we have for our babies, we don't have any drug available for any of our orthopedic clinics, our neurology clinics, or our rehab clinics.
And that means people with everything from painful joints to multiple sclerosis are being affected when supplies run short, she says.
There are many, many patients where we have had to delay therapy. We've had to use something else instead, and it may not have been what the physician viewed as the best choice. There have been patients that have been uncomfortable and in many cases have experienced pain because we have not had these drugs available.
Tyler tracks shortages nationally. It's not easy. Companies keep production information secret. The Food and Drug Administration sometimes gets more notice, says Dr. Mark Goldberger, and it has some control when it shuts down a plant for sloppy manufacturing practices.
One of the things we have worked very hard on is to avoid a situation where an FDA enforcement action causes the non-availability for a drug that has, you know, importance to public health.
He says the FDA can bend the rules sometimes and permit factories to continue operations if shutting down a factory would cost lives. But pharmacists say most of the time shortages are not caused by FDA actions or manufacturers running out of drugs. The biggest reason for shortages is managed care. They say the pressure to cut costs has led them to keep stockroom shelves bare. Again, Scott Mark.
Everybody's streamlining their inventory. Everybody's moved to a just-in-time inventory, which basically means you keep the minimum amount on your shelf. So rather than having invested in a bunch of drugs sitting on your shelf, you have it invested in new programs in your hospital or new patient care initiatives, things like that.
When the system works, it saves pharmacies big money. But it leaves patients vulnerable. There's no real reserve to fall back on when there's a delivery glitch or a shortage. Then
the first thing that happens is everybody panics. And so what happens is everybody calls up their wholesaler and basically depletes that supply chain immediately.
Back in Eden, Jane Yance pleads guilty to a little panic as she points to the top of a metal file cabinet. Up there are a couple of dozen boxes of prescription drugs, an antibiotic, a blood thinner.
This is kind of our stockpile of drugs that we've had problems with. And so when we get it, we get what we can. These are some extra things that we've just got in case we get in trouble with them. And I don't like doing it. I really don't, because I am affecting the whole marketplace. And whenever and you see, this isn't a whole lot of drug here. But if every hospital in the country is doing this, then yeah, that affects things. But my job is to take care of our patients.
Okay, what's that question?
Up to now, shortages have mainly involved injectable drugs used by hospitals. But there are signs the problem is spreading to oral drugs. And that means retail pharmacies could be next. Joe Neal, NPR News, Eden, North Carolina.